Madam Chair, you can start the meeting.
Good evening. The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Ms. Buckley, will you please call the roll?
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Carol. Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Atkins?
Here.
Mr. Foster?
Here.
Mr. Ahmed? Madam Chair?
Here. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair. I'd just like to place on the record that we're doing this meeting by way of a virtual Zoom platform in light of the DCA guidelines that were promulgated as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. We've done our best to comply with the DCA guidelines, and the link for the Zoom meeting has been properly noticed. Thank you.
The flag is over my right shoulder. Can we all recite the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we have the swearing in of the professionals, please?
Yes, can you please raise your right hand? Sorry. Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome.
Mr. Barlow, are there any adjustments or amendments to tonight's agenda?
Assuming the board members have the revised agenda with 12-12-23 in the upper right-hand corner that Ms. Buckley promulgated, that is the most recent agenda and there are no adjustments to it.
Does any member of the board not have that agenda? I have that agenda. I guess hearing no response, I guess everyone else has a copy of that agenda. Okay. Can I have a motion that any duly audited bills be paid?
Reverend Kenny, I'll make a motion that the duly audited bills to be paid.
Do I have a second?
Saunders, second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
He signaled his affirmation.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Yes. Item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on November 8th, 2023.
Chairman, I'd like to memorialize application 23 PV 25, idle 1551 South Washington LLC, preliminary and final site plan.
Do I have a second?
Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed? Yep. And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 9, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting on November the 8th, 2023.
Okay, Madam Chairman, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of November 8th, 2023.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 10, discussion. Mr. Barlow?
Madam Chair, I believe Mr. Lennis is here on behalf of his client, L'Oreal USA Products, Arco/Murray National. which is application 19 PB 36 and 37. The planning board had previously granted preliminary and final site plan and bulk variance, and I believe the applicant's attorney is here to request an extension of time for 1 year, which is allowed under the municipal land use law until February of 2025, correct?
That is correct. Thank you very much, Mr. Barlow. That is correct.
Mr. Linus, do you want to put your reasons on the record?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. On February 12, 2010, this board, some of you may recall, granted, memorialized an approval for a site plan and bulk variance for 81 New England Avenue. That's the location of L'Oreal at this location in Piscataway. And it was for a water reclamation project. We're now seeking a 1 year extension. This is our final extension. And the reason we're seeking a 1 year extension is because of the fact that the locals want to implement the water reclamation project because it is an environmentally helpful project to implement. However, corporate is not as desirous. So we're trying to get corporate in line to hopefully in 2024 to have the project launched.
Does the board have any questions regarding this request? Hearing no response from the board. I guess then if this request is granted, you will have 1 year from tonight to perfect your proofs in this matter.
All right.
I guess we should call for a roll call.
We would need a motion to grant the extension as requested with a second and then a roll call, and I'll prepare a resolution for the next meeting, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right, Madam Chair, we did come prematurely, and we're looking for the extension through February 10th, 2025.
Correct.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Roll call, please.
Mike Forster, I second it.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you. You too.
You too, Francis.
Bye-bye.
Item number 11.
Madam Chair, similarly, this is a request for a 60-day extension of time for KD Capital to perfect their minor subdivision on application 22 PB 27. And 28. I believe Mr. Dash is present.
Yes.
Mr. Dash.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Madam Chairwoman, members of the board. This was a minor subdivision previously approved by the board. We are virtually at the point of having this application finalized. In the abundance of caution, we've just to avoid having the deadline lapse, we'd like just the 60 days to extend the time to finalize the perfection. I believe the subdivision deed has already been signed. Ministerial step to review the final revised plan from the township engineer just needs to be completed. We anticipate that being done in the next week or so. But again, in the abundance of caution, just asking for the courtesy of the board for a short 60-day extension.
And I can confirm that Mr. Dash had submitted the deeds. We had a little tweaking to do, and engineering just has to look at them. So I think he'll have no issues getting this done within the 60 days he's requested, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members of the board, do I hear any questions, or would someone like to make a motion to grant this extension?
This is Carol Potter. I just have one question. Because I noticed previously the grounds weren't kind of kept up, so will they be kept up over the next 60 days?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. That was my only question.
Sure.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make that motion.
Carol Saunders, I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Item number 12.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, keeping with the theme of this evening so far, this is a request for extension of time on the Yates matter at 1023 River Road, application 20PB06. This is a matter that was originally approved in April of 2022. There was an action in lieu of prerogative writs, and an updated resolution was adopted on June 14th, 2023. And the applicant is seeking a 90-day extension. There was some work they had to do on the site, which I believe has now been completed. The updated survey has been submitted to Ms. Corcoran and the township for their review. I believe their counsel is here also with regards to the request, Madam Chair. Arthur?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the council. Effectively, as Mr. Barlow said, we've basically had a resolution passed on April 14, 2022. It was amended by way of resolution June 14, 2023. Mr. Yates has complied with most of the conditions, and we're just looking at to have the matter reviewed and to have the deed executed so that he can have it perfected. This is, like, again, just an abundance of caution to make sure that, you know, we're not under the gun and make sure that we can get this done without, if, in case any minor tweaking is needed or any other issues arise in the interim.
Thank you. Members of the board, do you have any questions, or would someone like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make the motion to grant the extension.
For 90
Saunders
days.
Second. Carol Saunders, second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. Item number 13, 23PB19, 51 Holly Road Associates LLC for a final and major, final major subdivision. Mr. John Wiley?
Yeah, Ms. Wiley's here representing 51 Holly Road Associates LLC. This was a four lot subdivision with no variances, which the board has granted preliminary approval. We have submitted everything that's required for the final subdivision. We've met with the, the subcommittee that reviews this, and no issues were raised.
Have any witnesses to call tonight?
I do not.
No, Madam Chair, this is... Dawn, why don't you speak to it?
No, I'm sorry, Tom. I just wanted to, Madam Chair and the board members, just to confirm that they have complied with all the conditions of the preliminary subdivision approval. So they're ready for the final.
Do I have a motion from a board member to proceed to approve this application since everything's been approved?
Reverend Madam Kenny, Chair. I make a motion that this application be approved.
Madam Chair, I would just open to the public real quick.
I think you're right. I'm sorry. That was an oversight.
And not that I expect any comment, but if there is any.
No,
from the
you need to do that. Ms. Buckley, would you? Members of the public, this application is being presented tonight for a final and major subdivision. It's on the agenda. Does anyone in the public have any questions about this application?
No, Madam Chair.
No, no response?
No, no one, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Close to the public. Members of the board, do you have a request or a motion to make at this time regarding this application?
Reverend Kenny, I'll make a motion that this application be approved for final.
We'll have a second.
Saunders, I second.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And go ahead. Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you.
And thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board.
Thank you. Item number 14, 23PB13/14, Beers and Victor, 10 Marion Court Trust. Major subdivision and bulk variance.
This is Peter Vasquez of Vasquez Halibut LLC on behalf of the applicant, the 10 Marion Court Trust.
You may proceed, Mr. Vasquez.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman of the Board. Have a good evening, everybody.
Peter, could you just either raise your volume? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Sure. Is this better? Sometimes I'm on my earbuds. Sometimes I can take those out and it makes it better. But if you're having a problem, let me know.
It's a little better.
Right, hold on one second. Is this better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. All right. This is a subdivision application. My client lives at 10 Marion Court. His name is Ibrar Nadim. He's the trustee of the trust, and he lives there with his family. It's existing block 12,201, lot 6.03. He lives at the end of a cul-de-sac. It's one of those ones at the end where it's kind of on an angle. It's an odd-shaped property at the end of a dead-end street. What he would like to do is purchase the rear of his neighbor's property, and that is 613 Hose Lane West. It's existing lot 5. If you're familiar with the area, if you've reviewed the plans, Hose Lane West, the yards are very long and deep. The houses are towards the front of the properties, towards the street, and there's a lot of room in the back. Marion Court goes all the way down the side of Mr. Keenan's property, who owns 613 Hose West. My client's all the way at the end, and the back of my client's property abuts the back of Mr. Keenan's property. What my client is looking to do is to purchase the rear portion of that property to give him more room in his backyard for his kids to play. There's an existing pool on the property that was there when he purchased it that takes up pretty much the whole backyard, and he wants to get a grass area there in the back. If this is granted, as a result, Mr. Keenan's property will still be, you know, a little more than half an acre. My client's property will increase to about 3/4 acre. It's a fairly simple application, but what we found that when we filed the application to get this approved, that there were certain items that have existed for decades that don't exactly meet the zoning requirements. So we need a couple of variances to formalize the existing conditions that have existed for quite some time. In particular, there's 3 variances for 10 Marion Court and 2 for 613 Hose Lane West. For Marion Court, there's a 40-foot front yard setback that's required. The existing is 39.4 feet. The second one's a 10-foot side yard setback. There's a 9.5 existing setback for the current house there. The third one for 10 Marion Court is 100-foot lot frontage, where there's 66.7 existing. And if I remember right, this may have been eliminated because of the cul-de-sac shape. They may not need a variance for that anymore. The professional planner could talk to that when he testifies. But for these, it appears that, you know, this subdivision was approved and granted some time ago, and the house hasn't been changed from any, you know, that I can tell from its construction. These are minor items that seems to be built a little off of where it should be. They're all very minor issues, and we just need to formalize that and get them approved. Similar thing for 613 Hose Lane West. On that property, there's a detached garage. And the footprint of that garage is 27 by 37, where the zoning code calls for a maximum of 25 by 25. So we have an oversized footprint there. And then the maximum height of the accessory building by the code is 18 feet, and the existing building is 21 feet. Again, we have another situation where this has been in existence for a very long time. To my knowledge, there's been no issues with it existing there.
And we just like to formalize that and get that approved so that moving forward, there's no issues with the properties moving forward. I know the review by the board's professionals has some questions that we're here to answer. We have a professional planner who'd be the first to testify. We also have the engineer that prepared the site plan that's here on the call as well. I saw Mr. Keenan on the call, and my client was supposed to be here. I haven't seen him yet on here. But if we get to that anyway, I'd like to proceed with my first witness, which would be Nicholas Graviano, the professional planner.
Call your first witness.
Okay, I see here you're taking him off mute.
Second. Hi, Mr. Graviano. Sorry about that. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony about to give with the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Yes, my first name is Nicholas with an H, last name Graviano, G-R-A, V as in Victor, I-A-N-O.
Thank you.
I am a planner and partner with Graviano and Gillis, Architects and Planners, with a business address of 101 Crawford's Corner Road in Holmdel, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. Graviano, have you testified before this board before?
Yes, I have been previously qualified by this board.
Madam Chairperson, would you like me to requalify him, or the fact that he was previously qualified, would that be acceptable to the board?
Just could you just give a few of his qualifications, sir? For the record?
Sure. Yes, certainly. I hold a bachelor's degree from Rutgers University, a master's degree in city and regional planning from Rutgers University, a law degree from the Temple University School of Law. I'm an AICP certified planner. I'm also a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey, and I've testified in over 100 municipalities in 18 different counties in the state.
Thank you. That's sufficient, sir, for foundation. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Graviano, have you had a chance to review the site plan for this 10 Marion Court application?
Yes, I've had a chance to visit the site on two occasions, as well as reviewing the proposed minor subdivision plan, as well as the professional review reports. The applicant is before the board this evening requesting a minor subdivision with the variances that were summarized by Mr. Vasquez. The subject properties are known as Block 122201, Lot 6.03, and Lot 5. After the subdivision, they'll be known as Lots 5.01 and Lot 6.08. After the subdivision, Lot 6.08 will encompass 30,659 square feet. Lot 5.01 will encompass 23,149 square feet. Both of those lots are well in excess of the 15,000 square feet, which is required in the R15 district. As you heard in the intro, all of these variances being requested tonight are a result of existing conditions. None of the variances are being created by this application. First, for lot 5.01, we have the variances required for the accessory buildings for both the dimensions and the square footage. 25 by 25 is permitted, whereas 37 by 27 is existing and proposed. Additionally, the 999 square foot detached garage is in excess of the permitted 625 square feet. Additionally, the existing garage has a height of 21 feet, whereas 18 feet is permitted by code. Moving on to lot 6.08, you heard the required front yard setback, 40 feet is required, 39.4 feet is existing and proposed. Minimum side yard setback, 9.5 feet existing and proposed, whereas 10 feet is required. And then lastly, this is a cul-de-sac lot, does not meet the minimum frontage. It fans out towards the back, as is customary with a cul-de-sac. 100 feet of lot frontage is required, whereas 66.67 feet is existing and proposed. All of these variances can be granted under both the C1 and C2 criteria. With respect to the C1 criteria, These are existing conditions not being created by this application. They have existed for quite some time. The garage has existed since the 90s. The subdivision on Marion Court was approved somewhat thereafter. A strict application of the town subzoning code would create an undue hardship upon the developer. Certainly no substantial impairment of the zone plan or zoning ordinance with these existing conditions variances, as well as no substantial detriment to the public good. In terms of the C2 criteria, the applicant does not need to demonstrate hardship. What the applicant must demonstrate that it relates to a specific piece of property. Here you have two existing single family dwellings in a single family zone. The applicant simply seeks to transfer 15,000 square feet of land to one prop from one property to the other, which certainly helps promote purpose G, sufficient space and appropriate location for variety of residential and recreational uses to meet the needs of New Jersey citizens. The applicant is before you this evening to augment the rear yard space in their home to provide more usable space. Certainly, this also advances purpose I, desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangement. And as with the C1 variance, this can be granted without substantial impairment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance or the public good. So in summary, both all five requested variances can be granted under both the C1 and C2 criteria without substantial impairment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance.
You anticipated my last question. The other question I have for you, and if not, I can ask with different witness. Are you familiar with the the existing property on 10 Marion Court and the pool fence?
Yes.
Okay. Can you describe
how
the pool is fenced in for the board?
Yes. The pool is presently fenced in, you know, in the rear of the yard. Certainly with this subdivision, the applicant agrees to comply with all applicable building code requirements for the fencing of the pool.
And the pool has its own specific fence around it, in addition to the fence that the entire yard has on the property line, correct?
Yes, sir. There is a double fence situation in this scenario.
And Madam Chairperson, I have I don't know if I know how to do exhibits here, but I do have a picture if the board would like to see it of the existing condition of the pool with the fence.
Sure, you can share your screen and we'll mark that as exhibit A1.
Okay, give me one second, I'll bring it up. All right, screen share. Can that be seen by everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Graviano, does this accurately represent what you viewed as the pool fence when you were there?
Yes, it does.
And that fence is going to remain even with the new added area to the rear of the property, correct?
That is correct.
I'd like to have that marked as Exhibit A1, as Mr. Barlow said.
And Mr. Vasquez, that's, I guess, it's specifically in response to item number 5 of Mr. Hinterstein's report of October 10th, 2023. Donna, is that acceptable?
It appears to be, Tom. Certainly, there's certain certain regulations that have to follow under the building code. If need be, we can always have one of the inspectors confirm. But
Mr. Vasquez, the applicant will agree to comply with all of the pool code requirements, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The board also had some questions about, or the professionals had some questions about the garage itself and what is being used for. I know Mr. Keenan's on the call. Before I get to him, Mr. Graviano, and I can ask Mr. Keenan if necessary, but I know you said you visited properties. Do you have any knowledge regarding the inside of the garage, what it's being used for, or should I save those questions for Mr. Keenan?
I was able to access the garage, you know, was part of the comment letter of the application. The garage, the upper level is used for storage as well as the bottom level. There are no finished parts of this garage. This garage is totally unfinished.
Doesn't contain any living quarters.
No living quarters, no plumbing whatsoever.
I have four photographs of the inside of the garage that I would like to show as exhibits. This would be A2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yep.
If that's acceptable.
That sounds good, Mr. Vasquez.
This is the first picture. This would be A2. Mr. Graviano, does this resemble what you viewed when you visited the property?
Yes, that represents the conditions I saw when visiting the property.
This would be A3. Same question here.
Yes, A3 clearly highlights, you know, the unfinished nature of the detached accessory structure.
And then I got two more. This is A4. This is the upstairs area, I'll call it. And also A5 as well. Does that represent what you viewed in the upstairs area?
Yes, all of those pictures gave the full length of the garage to show that all portions of that upper level are not finished.
And there is what appears to me in the top left of this picture, a light. So there is electric to the garage. Is that correct?
Yes, the garage is serviced by electricity. However, there are no plumbing fixtures in the garage whatsoever.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have for Mr. Graviano. I'm not sure if any of the board members have any questions for him.
You're muted, Ms. Smith.
I'd like to allow the board an opportunity to ask questions if they have any, please. Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness? If you have no questions, Ms. Buckley, would you please check with the see if any members of the public have any questions? This witness is open to the public for any questions of having heard his testimonies. Does the members of the public have any questions of this witness?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Closed to the public. You can call your next witness if you have another.
I believe Mr. Graviano has covered everything since he was able to take care of the use of the garage and the pool fence. I think we've covered the basis for the variances and the questions that the board's professionals had. If there's nothing else, if there are the questions the board would like us to answer, I have Mr. Keenan available, Mr. Nieves, who's the engineer, available. And if not, we'd like to move for approval of the subdivision.
Have all the items of concern on the staff report been addressed?
Madam Chair, this is Dawn Corcoran. I think the only item that we didn't cover was number 7 with regard to the property only being used for residential accessory use. Like, it can't be, it has to be used for that single family dwelling only. So the additional space, does your client agree to that condition?
Yes, he does agree to that condition, yes.
The other thing, just for the record, at one point, I know there was a reference to a future pool house with guest quarters. That is not part of this application, correct?
That is not part of this application. Okay. That was removed, and we understand that is not an accepted use, and that if he did want to do that, that would require a variance for a pool house.
Great, thank you.
Ms. Corcoran or Mr. Vasquez, in item 4 of Mr. Hinterstein's report, you've addressed, if approved, the structure should not be allowed to contain any living quarters or kitchen. I assume the applicant will agree to that. There's been testimony there's none in there so far, and that a deed restriction would be provided to that effect.
Mr. Keenan, you're talking about Mr. Keenan's
the garage.
Lot 5.0 in the garage, correct?
Yes.
Could I have Mr. Keenan speak to that, as it's his property?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Keenan, can you unmute yourself? And does he need to be sworn in?
I'm unmuted.
Yes.
Mr. Keenan, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about the guilt be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Excuse me?
Mr. Hello? Can you respond again?
Wait, he just crossed over as participant, so give him a second for it to catch back up.
There he is.
Oh, there I am.
Okay. Can you please raise your right hand?
Yes, I can.
Do you swear that the testimony about the guilt is the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Keenan, good evening. Are you the owner of 613 Hose Lane West?
Yes, I am.
And were you on the Zoom when I showed the witness the pictures marked A2 through A5 of the interior of the garage?
Oh, yeah, I was so happy everybody saw that.
We won't hold it against
you. So you do not use the garage right now for any type of living quarters or kitchen or anything like that, correct?
There could be a bat in there.
He better not be cooking.
The township wants to be sure that in the future it's not used, for those purposes. And they're requesting a deed restriction to be provided to that effect. And Mr. Barlow was bringing that up and asking if that was understood and acceptable. And since it's your property, I wanted you to bring in to give an answer to that so the town can be assured that it's not going to be used in that as a secondary residence or anything like that moving forward.
Yes, we're not going to convert that to any living space.
Mr. Barlow, is that acceptable?
Yeah, as long as someone's going to provide a deed restriction, the town will be fine with that.
Okay, I'll prepare that.
Ms. Corcoran, is there anything else on your end?
No, Tom, everything's been covered. Thanks.
Thank you.
Members of the board, do you have any more questions to the applicant or the witnesses that have been provided so far?
Nope.
If the members of our board have no questions for one last opportunity, I'd like to open it to the public. Members of the public, do you have any questions of the witness that's provided information on this application?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Mr. Vasquez, is your application complete?
Yes, that's all the witnesses, unless there's anything else the board would like answered.
Members of the board, you've heard this application and all the witnesses in support of the same. What is your pleasure? Would someone like to propose a motion?
Madam Chair, it's Reverend Kenny. I'll propose a motion that this application be approved, providing that he meets all the requirements that's requested of the garage use and so forth.
Do I have a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, everyone.
Your application has been approved.
Thank you.
Item number 15, 23 PB 20/21, Vias and Victor Amneal Pharmaceuticals LLC for preliminary and final site plan.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Court Klein from Sills, Cummins & Gross, mm-hmm. on behalf of the applicant Amneal Pharmaceuticals LLC.
Yes, sir. You want to give us an explanation of your application?
Yes. So we have submitted an application for preliminary and final site plan approval, bulk variances, and design waivers in connection with the proposed expansion of and improvements to the existing parking area of the existing pharmaceutical facility, pharmaceutical company, along with ancillary site improvements to the parking area, such as grading, drainage improvements, landscaping, and lighting. Property is located at 1 New England Avenue and identified as lots 7 and 8 in block 4601 on the Piscataway Township tax maps. The reason that we're here before the board, this was initiated by a notice from the zoning officer that there was an issue with the parking lot, which had been previously approved as a like banked parking, which could be expanded at a later date. And what happened was the applicant had put down gravel in that area, and we're here before this board to comply with the Piscataway Township ordinance and make this parking lot expansion, which was previously earmarked as banked parking, to do the other site improvements to comply with your ordinance. The property is located in the LI5 Light Industrial Zoning District, and we served notice by certified mail and published notice of the hearing, and we have submitted proofs of such publication and service to the board. And I wanted to ask that the board acknowledge receipt and that jurisdiction is properly before this board.
It is, Mr. Farla.
Very good. Thank you. So tonight, we are presenting one witness, Mr. Mike Lanzafama of Casey and Keller, a licensed professional engineer. Mr. Lanzafama is also a licensed professional planner, so he will be testifying first with regard to the site engineering, and then as a professional planner, he will testify in support of the requested relief. So I'd like to call Mr. Lanzafama.
You may call him.
Lanzafama. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do. My name is Michael Lanzafama. That's Lanzafama. I'm a licensed professional engineer, land surveyor and planner, licensed in the state of New Jersey. I'm a principal with the firm of Casey and Keller Incorporated, 258 Main Street, Millburn, New Jersey. And I've testified before this board on numerous occasions, actually the original site plan for this building.
You may be testifying. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The application at hand, as the attorney pointed out, was a result of a situation where we had an approval for bank parking. Mm-hmm. The owners of the property thought that they could just implement that approval without any follow-up approvals. So as a result of the notice that we were put under, they engaged our firm to provide detailed engineering plans in accordance with Piscataway's standards with regard to parking lot construction, curbing, landscaping, lighting. We've prepared a stormwater management plan, which meets the latest stormwater management ordinances of the municipality, as well as the state of New Jersey's new BMPs. We have submitted those plans and that drainage report to the municipality. I believe DNR Engineering has reviewed them, and we have reports from Mr. Hinterstein from DNR, as well as your planner, CME. I believe that, Corey, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we also received approval from the fire department on this particular application. Madam Chair, if I have permission to share my screen.
You may.
Thank you.
And yes, we did. We received approval from Mr. Gore.
Okay. So what you see on the screen is an aerial image of the subject property. The image was taken from a NearMaps software that we have, which is high resolution aerial imagery that is available online. And it gives you a good understanding of the property. As you can see, it's an irregularly shaped property. It's 15.6 acres plus in size. It's composed of two lots, lot 7, which is the more southern parcel, and lot 8, which is the wooded area that you see where my cursor is in the northern section of the site. It has frontage on New England Avenue, which has access to the existing parking fields. That driveway then extends all the way to Centennial Avenue, which is on the southern side of the site, or the left side of the exhibit. There's no proposal to modify the existing structure. The application at hand is to take what you see in the lower left-hand corner of the property, which is the southeast corner of the property, this gravel area, which is shown with cars parked on it, to formalize that into a plan that is compliant with the ordinance with regard to the size of parking stalls, aisle widths, appropriate lighting, and landscaping. We do need some design waivers, and there's a question as to whether or not a parking variance is also required for this application. I'd like to bring up as an exhibit, we've taken sheet 4.1.
If I can just interject for 1 second, we'll mark the prior exhibit as A1 and this as A2 and just go along with that. Okay, Mr. Lanzafama?
Certainly, Mr. Barlow. Just for point of reference, A1 is the plan set that was submitted and is made up of multiple sheets. A2 is a colorized version of sheet 4.1, which is the detailed site plan, a layout plan that you should all have as part of your submission. And what that shows you is that we are proposing to construct a bituminous parking area for 70 parking spaces. The parking spaces will have the appropriate backup of 25 feet. There are 9 by 18 stalls. There will be islands at the end of each the parking row that will provide for landscaping within the parking area. In addition, we're going to be supplementing the existing trees that you see in the western corner of the lot, the southwestern corner of the lot, with some supplemental landscaping, and I will share that with you shortly. There will be two access driveways from the existing parking lot, which will cause the reduction of two parking spaces in that area. In addition to the addition of the 70 parking spaces, we are converting 4 parking spaces to electric charging stations as required by state law. This also provides us with a reduction in the required number of parking spaces based upon the size and uses of the existing structure. We're required to have 330 parking spaces. So with the 4 car credit for the EV charging stations, that brings our required number of parking spaces down to 326. Currently on site, we have 133 parking spaces available, 128 standard spaces, and 5 handicap accessible spaces. With the additional parking, field of 70, that will bring our parking count, our provided parking count, up to 203 parking spaces. So that leaves a deficit of 123 parking spaces. However, under application 06PB20V, which is dated August 9, 2006, we were granted a parking variance for up to 169 parking spaces. So when you apply that to the shortfall, I believe that we would be compliant with regard to the number of parking spaces that are needed. This does meet the demand for Amneal Pharmaceutical. Over the years, they've had some changes in their processing and had to increase their staff. So that was the need for the additional parking. Obviously, Parking on Centennial Avenue is not available, and they were parking onto New England Avenue, which is permitted. However, they felt that wasn't appropriate, so they decided to put in the bank parking that had been approved under prior applications. The location of the parking area is approximately 60 feet from Centennial Avenue, which means that approximately 15 cars that are located on the southern end of the parking lot are within the front yard area. Parking is permitted within the front yard area, provided that it has at least 20% landscaping. And in a moment, I'll show you our landscaping plan and how we are compliant. So we do need a waiver with regard to the setback of that parking from Centennial Avenue. Under your code, the requirement for that is 80 feet is the required setback, but that is a design waiver and not a variance. The minimum from the parking should meet the required front yard setback. However, we're at 60 feet. Given the location of the existing parking lot, that causes certain practical difficulties in developing the property, trying to make efficient use of the space by preserving some of the landscaping in the southwest corner of the site of the parking area causes us to condense the parking and spread it from north to south, thereby encroaching 20 feet into that area. So I believe that design waiver is appropriate, would not cause any significant detriment to the public good or in the intent and purpose of your zoning ordinance or your zone plan. And you'll see in a second, the landscaping that we're proposing would mitigate any negative impacts associated with that design waiver. We are showing a 20-foot driveway at the western side, as well as the interconnection to the two parking lots, the two driveways into the parking lot. In Mr. Hinterstein's memo, he indicates that they should meet whatever the township standard is for two-way driveway. Since there's no vehicles backing into that area, I thought the 20 feet would be appropriate. We can certainly make this western driveway 25 feet wide. However, the two driveways that interconnect with the existing parking lot, if I made those 25 feet wide, would result in the loss of two more vehicles within the existing parking lot. I feel that the 20 feet is appropriate and can work, and would ask for a design waiver for those two locations alone. But we would make the western driveway 25 feet wide, as the other driveways are. There's an indication in Mr. Hinterstein's memo, as well as the planner's memo, that we were seeking relief to provide a gravel parking area. On our initial submission, when we went to the track, we were proposing a porous pavement median called gravel pave. We've eliminated that. We've made a conventional parking lot with standard asphalt surface, which has a depressed curb at the southern end. And what we've done is we've allowed that parking area to sheet flow into the lawn panel that exists at the southern end of the site. And going back to A1, and we go to the drainage plan. What I have up on the screen now is, I believe, let me just check the sheet number, that's sheet 5 in your plan set. And what that shows you is it shows you how we've pitched this parking area. So the water sheet flows through a depressed curb. There would be wheel stops as required within Mr. Hinterstein's memo. He asked for wheel stops in this area. We would provide that. It would sheet flow into a bioretention basin, which would be a landscaped element within the front lawn. This would receive the runoff from that area, allow it to percolate through a sand filter and then be piped out to the municipal storm sewer system, which is on the eastern side of our property within a 20-foot easement. That purifies the water. It also detains the water so that we meet the state standards for peak runoff rates for the 2, 10, and 100-year storms. As required by the state and your municipal ordinance, we're reducing the 2-year storm from this area by 50%, the 10-year storm by 25%, and the 100-year storm by 20%, thereby meeting the standard. So we have no issue with providing the wheel stops that are suggested in Mr. Hinterstein's memo, as well as a gravel strip. He thought it might be appropriate that we use some Delaware River gravel, maybe 3 feet wide at the very edge of the parking area, to help diminish any potential for erosion as the water sheet flows off of the proposed parking area. Moving on to what I have here, this is sheet number 6, would be A3. This is a colorized version of the lighting and landscaping plan that is proposed for this parking field. If you look to the left side of the exhibit, let me just blow this up. this shows that we are using LED type light fixtures, and the little tick marks with the numbers indicate the foot candle levels. We have 2 dual head LED light fixtures proposed within the parking area. And they show that there is an adequate illumination of the parking field with a minimum of 0.4 foot candles at the southeast corner. On the right side of the exhibit is the proposed landscaping plan. And we are providing a significant amount of plant material to screen the parking area from Centennial Avenue. This was one of Henry's requests that we do that, Mr. Hinterstein's request, as well as adding some supplemental landscaping on the east side of the parking of the driveway, or excuse me, the west side of the driveway. There's no ability to plant on the east side of the driveway because this is a utility easement with a 54-inch storm sewer in it, as well as a water main, a 12-inch water main that runs through the complex. So we would not be able to plant over that easement, but we did the best we can to screen the parking area with a variety of evergreen trees, shade trees, as well as ornamental trees. You can see we've preserved a significant amount of landscaping in the area immediately to the west, and we've supplemented it with some additional evergreens to further screen some of the existing accessory structures out from Centennial Avenue. Also, as required by your ordinances and within Mr. Hinterstein's memo, we will be providing sidewalks along Centennial Avenue. Our site plan currently only shows the let's look at the full site plan. Go to the site plan. The overall site plan shows that we are including new concrete sidewalk all along New England Avenue. I've had a conversation with Mr. Hinterstein today, and he indicated that we would also need to install new concrete sidewalk all along our Centennial frontage, which we are willing to do. There was also some cleanup work that he asked us to do in and along our loading area. We will also be performing that work as well. The final comment in Mr. Hinterstein's memorandum was that we install 2 4-inch diameter PVC conduits along our frontage for potential future fiber optic installations within the community. We're willing to do that. However, we would work with your engineering department. We just want to be certain that it's 2 4-inch PVC conduits. I would imagine it would be a Schedule 80 conduit, and nothing more than that. We don't know what fiber optic company might want in the way of installation. We just don't want to put in something that then we have to replace or upgrade. But we're happy to do and work with the municipality on providing that element that Mr. Hinterstein had requested.
So, Mr. Lanzafama, with regards to the conduit, we could do it as a condition of approval that you'll work with the township's professionals as to the nature and kind of conduit. Would that be something the applicant could agree to?
I think that's fine, okay, provided it doesn't go from 2 4-inch PVC conduits to 6 8-inch conduits. We would like to know that the 2 4-inch conduits are the upper end of the responsibility.
Understood. I think Dawn can confirm that.
Yes, Mr. Lanzafama, this has been a requirement of all applicants, that 2 4-inch conduit line. I don't foresee that changing whatsoever.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to clarify something, you had said that you, and I believe it was in response to Mr. Hinterstein's report, item 10, where he wanted trees on the easterly side of the Centennial Avenue, which is barren. I believe, is that the area you mentioned?
That's the area that's the utility easement, yes.
Okay, so it's barren for a reason, frankly.
Correct.
Okay.
And we did our best to landscape the west side.
Understood. So it's really, it's not something the applicant could even comply with.
Correct.
So, understood. I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. Okay.
Excellent. So I believe that that pretty much covers our testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board members or the public might have.
Mike, before we go to the board members of the public, I just wanted to confirm the area with the loading door, which is rarely, if ever, used. Did you discuss the access to that loading door?
Yeah, our plan that was submitted did show removal of some of that gravel area, and we were indicating a 10-foot wide surface. We've indicated as pavement. However, in talking to the client, we thought that maybe something more like what they call True Grid, which is a stabilized area that looks like grass, but trucks can drive on it. This loading door, this roll-up door, was installed because there was a specific piece of equipment or multiple pieces of equipment that were extremely large, and they couldn't get them into the building. So they literally had to cut an opening in the wall of the building to get the equipment in and put a roll-up door. This will never be used again until that equipment needs to be removed to be either upgraded or repaired. So it may not be used for the next 5 years. So instead of paving this, we thought it might be more appropriate to make it what we call True Grid, which is a grid system that you put topsoil and actually seed it. And it just looks like a lawn panel, but it can support truck traffic and heavy equipment such as fire vehicles or trucks. So we would like to do that in place of putting a formal driveway in there.
That's cool.
And I could work with engineering and Henry on that to come up with a final design. I'd be happy to do that.
Would that be considered pervious then?
It would be considered pervious. That's correct. Okay. That's the whole point.
So it would help with runoff and,
exactly,
and water. And so.
And just visually, it just visual. Look much better.
Okay.
Okay, so you mentioned the variance for parking, which, you know, as we explained, was an existing variance, and we're making the condition better. But in an abundance of caution, we are requesting the variance. We mentioned the design waiver for the aisle widths, also the design waiver for the parking within the setback area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you mentioned there's a design waiver to permit less than 10% of the total parking.
We comply with that. We did an analysis on the landscape on sheet six. If you take a look at that.
So we now do comply with the landscaping requirement.
Yeah, we believe we do. We have some calculations at the bottom of the sheet. You have the front yard parking space area. 20% of that is 1,410 square feet, or is 551 square feet. We have 1,410. And just to be clear, what normally we count is like the corner park areas here would be counted as landscaping, as well as the areas along here. And if you felt that that wasn't appropriate, if you normally what we've done in the past is every five spaces we'd introduce an island. Well, if I did that, this parking area would shift to the west, which would impact the existing landscaping here, only to put new trees in and along here. We felt that the row of trees along the edge of the parking area, as well as the preservation of the trees at the corners, met that standard and the intent of the ordinance to be the 10% standard requirement of, or 20% standard for landscaping islands within the front yard. The rest of the site was, there are six trees required. We have six trees proposed, so we're compliant. The balance of the parking area, 10% of the 8,586 square feet of parking area would require 859 square feet. We have 1,424 proposed. We feel we're compliant. It's one tree for every 1,000 square feet of parking area. So that's nine trees required. We have nine trees provided. So it's our opinion that we are compliant with those sections of the ordinance.
Great. And with regard to the utility easement that prevented us from putting landscaping in that area, mm-hmm. is that in a front yard that requires a design waiver for screening of the front yard, or did we address?
No, we provided the screening in the front yard. The design waiver is for the setback distance from Centennial Avenue. 60 feet is proposed, 80 feet is required.
Perfect. And just for the record, can you just go through the proofs for the, I guess, the one variance and two waivers that we're left with?
Well, I went through the proofs. I can do it again for the proofs for with regard to the design waivers. I felt it was appropriate because of the location of the existing parking area that we had to work with and the need to get the 70 additional parking spaces and the desire not to elongate the parking lot extensively, but to project out in the north and south direction that caused us to encroach 20 feet into that required setback. Again, with the landscaping we're proposing, the significant setback of 60 feet, I don't feel that that's a negative and a detriment to the public good or the intent and purpose of Piscataway Zone Plan. In addition, all of the driveway aisles where vehicles back up will be compliant at 25 feet. We're only asking for 20 feet at the two access points from the existing parking area because of the configuration of the existing parking area and our desire to preserve as many parking spaces along this area as possible. So again, it's a function of an existing feature on the site, similar to a C1 variance, although it's not a variance, it's a design waiver. This is definitely an improvement over strict compliance with the regulations as they exist. 20 feet is more than adequate for two-way access into and out of these parking areas. These are employees, it's not a like a customer area, retail area, where you're going to have constant movement. You're going to have minimal amount of movement at a specific period of time. So I feel that too could be granted without any detriment. With regard to the parking variance, the property owner, the applicant, knows his staff, knows his requirements, knows his needs, to simply park the property to comply with the ordinance. It would only add additional impervious area, remove existing landscaping and existing wooded areas on the site. 15.6 acres is more than adequate to provide the extra 123 cars that we need. So in my mind, that's clearly a C2 variance. That strict compliance is not a good planning alternative, that granting the variance would provide for a better planning alternative. The positive being reduction in impervious area, preservation of wooded areas, less runoff, more green space. And this meets the needs of a Neil Pharmaceutical.
Mr. Lanzafama, just to piggyback on what you said, the prior approval, 2006 PB20V,
mm-hmm.
at that time, the requirement was 292 spaces, and a variance was granted by the planning board for 123. So essentially for 169 less than was required. The application now, some 17 years later, 332 are required and 203 are being proposed. So essentially the applicant is also reducing
exactly
the parking deficit. Shortfall.
That's correct.
While still providing adequate parking. Is
That's
that
correct.
Fair? And just so my numbers are right, 332 is required.
I have 330 are required, were my calculations. Minus four for the credit for the EV charging stations brought us to 326 required, and we would have 203 proposed for a deficit of 123.
I was just going by Dawn's report, which indicated
332. Okay. It might have been some minor variation in, it could have been in the rounding perhaps.
That's what it was, Mr. Lanzafama. It's just the rounding. That's why we're off. I think Ron even had 331. I was 332. You were 330.
It's your testimony, 330 are required. And I always wondered, does the credit bring it down or does the credit add to what you're proposing?
We should ask Mr. Smith. But
six of one, half dozen of the other, Mr. Reinerston?
The way I read the ordinance, it's a reduction.
I've always taken the approach that I want to know what physical spaces are there. So if you increase it and that parking lot's full, I want to know where those four spaces are that are mythologically shown on the site plan. So I've always suggested deduct from the requirement.
Gotcha. Correct.
So 326 and 209?
203.
Okay. We still have a lowering of the shortfall.
That is correct.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you for clarifying it.
No problem. I believe that concludes my testimony. Any other questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Could you take the exhibit down, sir?
Oh, sure. Sorry. Mm-hmm. There you go.
This concludes your testimony at this time, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Members of the board, do you have any other questions individually of this witness? Hearing none, I'd like to open it to the public. Members of the public, you have an opportunity to ask questions of this witness on this application. Is there anyone in the public who would like to ask a question at this time?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Do you have any other witness?
No. That is my only witness.
Okay, members of the board, you've heard this application. Would someone like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to the board professionals' reports.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yeah.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Everybody have a good holiday.
You too.
Need 1 second to clean up my mess here.
Okay, me too. All right. All right, I believe we're on item number 16. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Item number 16, 23 PB 28, Lakshmi.
Yeah,
Lakshmi.
Okay, and I can't pronounce the rest of the name for a minor subdivision. You may proceed, sir.
Madam Chair, this is Tim
Arch. Is that you, Mr. Arch?
Yes.
Okay.
Tim Arch, I'm doing great tonight. Madam Chair, esteemed members of the board and board professionals, my name is Tim Arch, attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here tonight representing Lakshmi Sudarajan and Saktavel Paichamani. They are the owners of 8 and 10 Brotherhood Road. A little bit of background, you may recall that this was a property previously subdivided under a previous applicant. It used to be just 8 Brotherhood Road. It is now 8 and 10 Brotherhood Road. There is a moratorium on road opening for Brotherhood Road, and that moratorium is in place until 2029. Currently, the property 8 Brotherhood, because it had a previous house on it, both properties are currently vacant, but because it had a previous home on it, it already has a curb cut for a driveway, and it has utilities servicing that lot. Unfortunately, 10 Brotherhood does not have a curb cut and does not have any utilities that service that lot. And because of the moratorium on road opening, we cannot cut into the roadway in order to access both the road and the utilities in order to construct a single family residence on that property. This was all known, so I'm not saying that this was anything that was a surprise to the owners, but this was all disclosed and this was known. We did go to the administration and we did suggest the possibility of entering into a developer's agreement in order to open the roadway and then repave it and post a maintenance bond. But the administration was not open to that idea of doing it by way of a developer's agreement. So we're left with a situation where we have a property that can't be developed until 2029. Because of the road opening moratorium. Some land use attorneys would make the argument that that's an unconstitutional taking and there's case law that maybe backs that up, but we don't have to even worry about that or discuss that because we actually have an alternative tonight that gets around this whole issue. And it's only possible because of the unique situation of these properties right now. They're actually currently owned by two brothers. And so because of that unique situation that they're owned by two brothers, we have unprecedented cooperation between the two of them to get to the finish line on this. So what we are proposing is because there is access to utilities and because there is access to the roadway on the existing 8 Brotherhood property is that for a temporary basis, while that moratorium is in effect, to share those utility laterals and share that road driveway access between the two properties. I'm going to bring up, if I can just share the screen for a moment, I'll bring up the plan that we had submitted just so that the board has something to look at besides myself. Does everybody see my screen?
Yes. Show yourself short, Tim.
So just as a visual representation, you can see here's Brotherhood Street. This would be the proposed driveway utilizing the access that's currently there. And then you would be able to access the other lot this way. And then the utilities would also, in a similar way, you would be able to connect into the utilities as well. Again, this would only be for a temporary basis to allow development on that property and them to actually build a habitable and livable home so that they can live there. And then when 2029 comes around, the idea would be when we can open the road at that point to provide a curb cut for the 10 Brotherhood property and provide utility access for that 10 Brotherhood property. So I do have basically one witness tonight. I have two witnesses here, but one witness tonight, and that would be Saktavel Paichamani, who is the homeowner who owns 10 Brotherhood. I also have Mr. Paul Fletcher here, who is the engineer. He's available in case there's any direct questions of the board that need to be addressed. But I think if we can call Mr. Pajamani to be sworn in, I think we can address all of the conditions of the reports through his testimony.
Okay, now Mr. Arch, you may proceed.
If I can ask for Mr. Pajamani to be sworn in.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Saktiwil Pichaimani, S-A-K-T-H-I-V-E-L, Pichaimani, P-I-C-H-A-I-M-A-N-I.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so Saktiwil, basically everything that I said in my opening, do you agree? Was I accurate or did I get anything wrong?
Yeah, it's accurately. I testify to confirm that we are in our agreement that the shared driveway and the utilities that will be subject to, you know, approved by the utility company will also be, you know, temporary until the moratorium is up. Once the moratorium is lifted, then we will share, remove that shared, and then we can separate the utility and the driveway.
Okay, excellent. And just to focus in on those, I think those were pretty much the conditions of Mr. Hinterstein's report. But just for the record, I'd like to indicate we do have a report from Mr. Hinterstein that's dated November 22nd. We also have a CME report that is dated November 20th. So just to recap what you just said, of the comments on Mr. Hinterstein's report, it indicates, number one, that there's going to have to be an easement provided across both properties in order to effectuate this. And we agree that those easements will be provided. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And further, anything that's conditioned here, obviously, we would need to also have the approval of PSE&G, the electrical company, of Middlesex Water, or sorry, American Water, the water company, and we would have to confirm that the sewer laterals are capable of handling any flow that we're putting in there. So you would agree that those would all have to be conditions of this approval as well, if you are approved.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. And then finally, you would also agree that, and this is probably going to be accomplished by way of entering into a developer's agreement, that these are going to be temporary measures so that you can build your house, get in your house, live in your house. And then once the moratorium is up, to separate it so that the two lots can be separately serviced and separately accessed, correct?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. And I think the only thing that was really mentioned in Mr. Ryerson's letter, and he'll certainly correct me if I'm wrong, is that there were some questions as to just to make sure that the designs of the homes and when you're building the homes, you understand that when eventually the homes get designed and built, that if there's anything that you would have to abide by the township's code, and if there's any variances or design waivers from that code, you understand you'd have to go back in front of the board and request that. So, for example, if you're asking for setback variances or anything along those lines, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I understood.
Yeah. And Mr. Arch, and I'll defer to you and Mr. Barlow on this. There was one of the conditions of approval talked about, you know, it would be within the footprint of what was shown. Now, this one is not within the footprint, but our review said everything complies with current zoning. So I'll leave it between you and Mr. Barlow on how, you know, if any kind of rewording has to be done. I always look at box approvals as unless there's some kind of condition that calls for the exact footprint to be shown, as long as you're complying, that's what you really need to show, that you're going to be complying. And in this particular case, this is one of the first applications I had here. One of the reasons for the subdivision was this was an extraordinarily deep lot that had a lot of size. So, that's why the variance was granted in the first place. So I don't think the footprint itself was a driving force with what needed to be a condition of approval. You know, again, I'll defer to you guys how to word it.
What I would say is that reading the condition, it indicated that if it didn't take place within the building footprint, and as a result of the review of the township's professional staff, any bulk variances were then triggered, the applicant would have to go back before the board. So as long as the applicant builds and doesn't require any bulk variances,
he's fine.
I don't think that's an issue at all. And Tim, just from a housekeeping standpoint, since you're agreeing to all the conditions of Mr. Hinterstein, essentially you're looking to amend the prior approval subject to basically changing the site plan as has just been discussed with those conditions.
Correct. I think from a technical standpoint, the previous approval was a subdivision approval. This is an amended subdivision approval. We are not seeking to change any of the subdivision lines. The subdivision's actually already perfected.
Exactly.
Not changing anything with the lot. It's really just a unique situation in that there isn't a specific code or ordinance in town that prevents or prohibits any of the stuff that we're talking about here. However, such a unique situation, we felt that it was necessary to come back in front of the board and to make a record of all of this.
I agree with you 100%, but it's so unique. I was trying to figure out what the resolution looks like, and I think the cleanest way is to give an amended minor subdivision with bulk variances. Note, you're subject to all the prior conditions
Correct. Of
the prior resolution, with the noted changes that the applicant has just discussed, you've discussed and has agreed to in Mr. Hinterstein's report.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think that's the
okay. thing. All right.
And just as a reference, I think that Mr. Arch, correct me if I'm wrong, the street trees in the sidewalk that was agreed in the previous approvals has already been done from what right. I can see. I counted right. five street trees were, I think, was in the original resolution, and I counted five. If I had one hand, so I could do that. Anyway, so.
So I believe that's all the testimony that we would need to present. As I said, Mr. Paul Fletcher is here. If there's any, if we have any questions as to engineering or as to planning justifications, he's certainly here. But since really nothing is changing from a technical or engineering standpoint, I don't know if there are any specific questions to him. But short of that, that would essentially be our ask of the board.
Yeah, I don't think the board,
do you have any questions? Ms. Cochran, has everything spoken?
They've addressed everything.
You approve? Okay. Okay, then I'd like to open it to the public. Any members in the public would like to have questions as to this application? You may do so now.
No, Madam Chair.
Close to the public. All right, members of the board. Does anyone want to make a motion or have any other questions?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make the motion to approve the application subject to the board professionals' reports. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, that the applicant agrees to enter into a developer's agreement with regard to comment number 6 of the staff report.
Carol Saunders, second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you.
Just stick Thank around you. For one sec, Tim.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. There's a discussion item next. Okay. Yeah. Didn't see that.
We have a resolution? Okay.
No, number 17 is an extension of time. We're going back to the beginning.
Okay.
Back to the future.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Barlow.
I believe this is Mr. Arch's request for an extension of time to perfect the subdivision on application 22 PB 23 and 22 and 23 V that this board had approved on February 7th, 2023. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Barlow. This is for, let me just get the number, 149 Stratton Street, Grand Home Investments. I believe the township is in possession of the deed. I believe it's probably already signed at this point. I know my client has signed it. There was some delay in getting an LOI from NJDEP, and that was what caused the That was one of the outlying conditions that that caused us not to be able to perfect in time. And so we are just asking for an extension of time. I'm asking for 190 days, which is allowable. I don't think it's going to take that long, but I always like to err on the side of caution because I'd hate to have to come back and ask for another one. As much as I love seeing you guys, I'd hate to have to come back on the same thing again.
Yeah, well, I think the 190 days takes you till February 23rd, 2024. So.
Yes.
It's not that, 2025.
Exactly. No. You're allowed to grant the extension after the time technically runs. So the original resolution was back in, I think, January of 23. Mm-hmm. So the extension is for 190 days, which takes this applicant till February 23rd, 2024, which should give Mr. Arch more than enough time to perfect it since we have the deeds.
All right. That. Members of the board, would somebody might like to make a motion to grant this request for extension of time?
Reverend Kenny, I'll make the motion for the extension of time for this applicant for the amount of 190 days.
Yes, sir.
Harold Saunders, second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 18.
Take care, Tim.
See you guys. I'll see some of you tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes. Bye, Tim. Well,
Mr. Barlow?
Number 18 is a referral from the Township Council. An ordinance to amend some of the zoning ordinances, and as the board is aware, you have the opportunity to review and comment as to their consistency with the master plan. And as to the first one, kind of supplementing a bunch of different chapters, I think Dawn can address the ones that would specifically be of interest to the land use board.
Sure. So we're actually amending the land subdivision ordinance, the zoning ordinance, and the site plan review ordinance to require the installation of fiber optic conduits. It's going to be very specific in terms of, how many, the size. It's going to defer to the engineer for the placement of those lines. But that is what pertains to this board. It's strictly the fiber optic conduits.
Members of the board, do you have any questions? Hearing no questions, would someone like to make a motion to approve the amendment of these?
Reverend Kenny, Madam Chair, I make a motion that be approved that for the fiber optics for the cities to change the ordinance.
Harold Saunders, second.
Roll call.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Ms. Corcoran, did you have any other comments?
So second one is just to amend the zoning ordinance to include a definition for make-ready parking spaces.
Would someone like to make a motion?
Chairman, this is Carol Saunders. I make a motion that we approve.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Barlow, did we have resolutions for those two?
I should have said that. For both of the ordinances, Madam Chair, I prepared resolutions because we're up with some time frames before the end of the year. So if you want to do the fiber optic resolution first, And then the ready, make ready parking resolution second.
Ms. Saunders, do you have that resolution, the fiber optics?
Yes, I do.
You may proceed.
Okay, Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize the ordinance to amend the supplement chapter XX for the fiber optic conduits.
Do I have a second?
Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize the ordinance supplementing Chapter XXI for make-ready parking spaces.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. We don't have another resolution?
No, we made it to the end. That's number 20.
Okay. Then do I have a motion for an adjournment?
Chair, I make a motion for adjournment.
Okay. If I don't see you guys next week at the other meeting, have a happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Stay safe. Tom, you look good. 24.